You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
So today we're concluding our February series. And the title of the series is Unbreakable. We have been learning from the life of Daniel, really lessons from the book of Daniel. And today's message is titled, Long Haul, The Long Haul. See, there's something about things that have lasted through the test of time. There's something about things that have had the resilience and the strength to endure the years. You know, that's the difference between an antique store and a junkyard. Things that have endured well, things that have survived well through the test of time, through the years, they gain value. If not monetary value, they gain sentimental value. And there's something about things that have lasted even longer than its critics. You know, I don't know if you have something like that in your life. You know, maybe you can think of something in your life that has lasted longer than you thought it was going to last, and it's still there, and it's been lasting. It's been around for a long time. I don't know if you have that something in your life. Some of you might be thinking, I know JD, he's sitting right next to me, you know? I'm kidding. But really, we live in a society that is increasingly looking for the new thing. What's the new trend? What's the new thing that's coming up? What's the new item? What's the latest gadget? And we're getting more and more disconnected from the values of tradition. We're getting more and more pushed toward the latest trends and more disconnected from tradition. And new trends are not necessarily bad. You know, new trends is where innovation happens. You know, new ideas can become a new trend. And if a trend lasts long enough, it can become a tradition. It can become something that survives through the test of time. But when something has lasted a long time, when something has outlasted its critics, its enemies, it just begs the question. We have to ask the question, what is it about this thing that has caused it to survive? What is it about this thing that has caused it to outlast everything else? At least we should ask that question as often as we ask, what's the latest trend? What's the new thing? And that's what we find in today's story. We're going to read from Daniel chapter 6. And in this chapter, you know, there's the account of life of Daniel and his companions up until this chapter. It's really the last account. Although Daniel has 12 chapters, if you've had a chance to read through the book of Daniel, you probably realize that once you go from chapter 6 to chapter 7, things take a major turn. Because chapter 7, he starts writing in the first person, and it's all about visions and dreams and things that he has seen. So really, the historical part of Daniel, because that's how the book is divided, the first half of the book is historical, the second half of the book is prophetic, and the first half, 1 through 6, is where we find the history, the story of Daniel. And chapter 6 is really the last it's written about him. And chapter 7 through 12 is about the visions and dreams that he had during the period of chapters 1 through 6. So this is the last story. This is the last thing we hear about him. And like the story we read last week, is another staple story in the Bible. That if you grew up in church, this probably is a story that you heard multiple times. And if you didn't grow up in church, it is my honor to be the one who will share this story to you for the very first time. And you will get to hear it today. By the way, if you didn't grow up in church, You know, if you didn't really connect to a church growing up, or you went because your parents and then it disconnected because you didn't really feel like it was your place, and yet you listen to us, you watch Connect Community, or you attend Connect Community, I just wanted to tell you in the least creepy way possible that you were the reason why everything here happens. You're the reason why we moved to Stanford. You're the reason why we put it all together. You were the reason why, you know, we do what we do. Because when you look from the outside in, especially nowadays, and you look at what church life or Christian life, you know, may look like, from the outside, from a distance, it may look like a set of beliefs or tenets of belief, or it may look like a set of behaviors, or it may look like it's all about, you know, values and behavior. But those are just byproducts. That's a small part. That's the result of something much deeper, much more profound that happens on the inside, the transformation that happens on the inside. And when you get close, you begin to realize there's more to it. And that's our goal here at Connect Community. You know, because nowadays everything, this is a long sidebar. I didn't plan to speak this long on this, but you got to know that nowadays everything is getting so politicized, man. Everything is getting hijacked by political ideology, and it has to fit in one box or the other. It's either right or left, or this or that. And the gospel is not about that. That's why our mission is centered around the life of Jesus. Everything we do here is centered around the life of Jesus. Our mission is what? Connect people to God, connect people to others, and connect people to purpose. You can't do those things without Jesus. Because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father without me. So to connect to God, you need Jesus. To connect to others, he said, love one another as I have loved you. You should love one another. He has the perfect love. He's the fountain of love. And through him, we can love one another well. And he said, I have come that they, meaning us, may have life and life more abundantly. And that's a life with purpose. That's a life where you get to connect to purpose, and that happens through Jesus. So I'm going to say this here. Jesus, a life with Jesus is greater than what you see on the news. Okay, you can't put us in a box, because Jesus didn't speak to church folks. He didn't speak to people who were just in the temple. He spoke to everybody. And Jesus came for every people. He said, go and make disciples in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, unheard of for Jewish people to talk to Samaritans, and to the ends of the earth. Guess where we are? We are in the ends of the earth, the new world, the Western world. So Jesus is greater than Western civilization. I love America, but Jesus is greater than America. All right, in any political party. That's why we're all one people here, centered around his love. That's right. That's right. That's right. I know you're feeling it stronger than you're clapping in your heart. Is it okay to clap? It is. So, Daniel, chapter 6 comes around, and many years have passed now. Daniel is a seasoned man. And when this chapter comes around, something interesting happened, because he had already lived through two Babylonian kings. First, Nebuchadnezzar, the man who extracted him, who took him, who captured him from his homeland. That was the first king that he served under. And then Belshazzar, his son, after Nebuchadnezzar died, became king, and Daniel served under that king as well. And he not only prospered under King Belshazzar, Daniel was promoted to third ruler in the nation. Of course, they had a different government structure, but if it were America, Daniel would have been the Speaker of the House. He was a powerful man. He was a man of influence. He was the third ruler in Babylon. And then something major happened. The empire that had taken him from his home country was now taken over. The Persians came in and took over the Babylonian kingdom, and the Persians and the Medes conquered Babylon. And now we go to the scripture, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. It pleased Darius, that's the king of Persia, to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all others, high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. I want you to pay attention to what's going on here, because a new government is being formed. The kingdom that took over his land, his home country originally, where he was captured. Think about this, Daniel's there. Like, he was captured. He comes into this kingdom, foreign kingdom, and he somewhat not only survives, he prospers. He becomes somebody distinguished. He was a nobleman in his home country. Now he's a nobleman in this second kingdom. And then he's growing. He becomes third in command. And now another kingdom comes in and takes that one over again. It's like, all right, round two, I guess. And not only is he surviving this second takeover, he's thriving. He is not demoted. He's not afflicted. They didn't break him. He comes in, and the new king looks and says, I want you to be one of my three high officials that will be over 120 officials in my nation. What happens? What causes somebody? What happens when somebody comes in? What needs to happen when somebody comes in and comes into a new organization, a new nation in this case, and says, there's something about you. There's something about you. There's something about you. I'm going to preserve you. And I'm going to give you influence. I don't know if you thought about this. If you thought about what causes people who have the power to chase you out or chase you down, look at you and say, there's something about you that I need to preserve. There's something about him that's too valuable. We cannot lose him. There's something about her that we need to preserve. Don't move him. I know nowadays there's a lot of takeovers, organizations buy organizations, and companies merge, and this doesn't happen as often as it should because a lot of good talent is lost. But here, something amazing happened because Daniel was elevated in that process. And what makes that happen? What causes somebody to stand out like that? And this scripture gives us a straightforward answer. It's right there in the text. It says, an excellent spirit. Daniel became distinguished above all others because an excellent spirit was with him. Now think about this. He is older now. We read in the first week that Daniel was a young man and that he was without blemish. And now we are reading later in his life, after many years, the third kingdom or the third reign that he's serving under recognizes that he's still a distinguished person. He's still someone who is excellent. It got me thinking that the longer you look down the timeline of your life, the deeper inside you need to look. The longer you look at the timeline of your life, the deeper you need to look within. See, you can certainly endure the next couple of days without any introspection. You can certainly fight the few challenges that you have coming at you this week without any need to pause and analyze your whole life. You can probably get through the week just going through the motions. But if you're considering the long haul, if you're considering the next 5 years, the next 10 years, if you're considering the end of your life and you're thinking, what kind of person do I want to be then? What kind of person do I want to be when I get to the end of my life? You must look deep within. We have to search our souls. Because if you're thinking, what kind of man do I want to be? What kind of woman do I want to be? If you're thinking, what kind of person do I want to be and who do I see at the end of my life? Whether you see great achievements, whether you see great possessions, right? You might picture you sitting in a canoe in a nice lake fishing, or you might picture yourself in a yacht fishing. independent of where you picture yourself, there is a greater question. There's something greater to consider. And this is the greater thing that we must consider. What will be the state of my spirit? What will be the state of your spirit when you get to the end? Will you be bitter because of everything you went through? Will you be a cynic because of the trials that you've been through? Will you be numb and just not care about life because you've been fighting for so long? What will you be resilient, stronger than you are now? Or will you be someone people can look up to? Someone who is not easily swayed by the waves and trends of life, but who knows where you stand. Somebody who has not been hardened by life, whose spirit has not been hardened by life, but is able to count it all joy. Who's able to have a sweet spirit and live through life, still with a sweet spirit. Now, what can make a person enjoy life and not just endure it? How can you preserve your spirit? And this is what the scripture is telling us. It's showing us that in Daniel's life, what made him accomplish that was an excellent spirit within. Daniel had an excellent spirit. Now, what makes up an excellent spirit? We'll go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could not find, they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. I don't know if you've ever had an argument with somebody. You guys don't look like people who argue. You look like people who just love each other every single day. But if you've had, just hypothetically, been in an argument with somebody, it is possible that you said something along the lines of, I don't know what you're complaining about. It's not my fault. Like, I don't know what you're complaining about. I didn't do anything wrong. Who has used that line? Come on. Oh, I see hands all over. All of you who didn't raise your hands, you're lying. Okay? I didn't do anything wrong. We hear this at least once a week from one of our daughters. I didn't do anything wrong. It was her. It wasn't me. It was her. I didn't do anything wrong. That is a more probably something that you probably said in a different form, in a different way. But here's something that you probably never said. Here's something that you never said, okay? In an argument. There's absolutely nothing wrong with you. There's nothing I can complain about you. I find no error in you. No, because that ends the argument right there. Yet, this is an amazing description of Daniel. And it's not made by his wife or kids. It's not made by his students. It's not made by his employees. It's not made by his friends. It's not made by his mom. This is made by the people who are trying to take him down. His enemies are trying to find something to complain about him, and they can find no grounds for complaint. Why? Because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. He was faithful. Faithfulness is not something that's been trending lately, right? If you look at the last decade or probably a few decades in our culture and society, faithfulness is not something that has been trending upward. We might not even realize how much faithfulness is not part of our lives, because people break commitments all the time. That's why we have written contracts. And that's why we sue sometimes. I mean, not us, but you know, people. Because people break their commitments all the time. People go back on their word. People go back on their vows. More and more people are swayed by power, by money, by position, by temptations, by self-ambitions that cause them to break their commitments and go back on their faithfulness. I mean, I don't know if you realize this, but we were really raised, our generation was raised to watch our backs all the time. We got locks, We got alarm in our cars. We got cameras. We got passwords in our phones. We just got it. Everything is protected somehow. Because we have a sense that it, for us, it's just the way it is, right? But we have a sense that we got to watch our backs. That's why you got to lock everything and keep everything in a safe. And you got to have a bank account and keep your money there secure. Because you can't really trust people, right? But if Daniel were our friend, if Daniel were your friend, there would be something about him that would be surprising, odd, yet attractive, because he was none of those things. If Daniel was your friend, you wouldn't have to lock your door. If Daniel was your friend, you could leave cash laying around. You wouldn't have to lock up anything of value, because he was faithful. He was trustworthy. He was somebody with an excellent spirit. And that's what an excellent spirit does. An excellent spirit means that you're faithful. It means that you are constant. That means to be constant, to have consistency. That means you're present. That means you show up. That means you're not a complainer. You're a contributor. That means you don't measure success by how much others fail or by the failure of your peers. But you measure success because you're a faithful person. You measure it to the extent of excellence. You know, it means that you show up on time every day. It means that you are your best every day. You give your all every day. You love fully every day. Because you're not looking for outer motivation. The excellence within, the desire to be excellent, the faithfulness, that deep primary value on the inside is your motivation to do what you do right. And the second thing it says about Daniel is that no error or fault was found in him. Now, what does that mean to us? Does it mean that we need to be perfect and make no mistakes? No, that's not what it means. But it does mean that corruption, taking advantage of somebody else for self-gain, it means that trying to find a way to keep people in the dark so that we can get ahead and possibly deceive somebody so we can take advantage of them, is not something that you would even consider. It's not something that would even be something would even come up to your mind. That means that an excellent spirit has integrity. It means that you do what is right, not because there are advantages. You do what is right, not because of the benefits, but you do what is right because it's the right thing to do. So that's the way Daniel chose to live, with an excellent spirit, a kind of life that meets every challenge in every season, every circumstance, with both faithfulness and integrity, an excellent spirit. And Daniel was tested and he was approved. This is what happened next. Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then they got together and said, now basically this is what happened. They got together and said, "We have a problem. Okay, this guy lives his life too right. He's too good for us. There's an issue with him. He's a man of integrity. He's faithful. We can find no fault. So we got to trick him. What are we going to do? We have to find a problem with his religion. We have to find a problem with his values of his faith. We got to take him down. That's how we're going to take him down. His faith and his devotion to God." See, last week I talked about devotion, how the importance of moving from commitment into devotion, and how devotion can drive your decisions. And this is a picture that we see in our lives too, because when the enemy can't take you down by accusing you and condemning you and by just making you feel like you're guilty all the time, blaming you, shaming you, he will try to attack your devotion. Try to come up with distractions in different things so that you will not be devoted to God. And here, what Daniel does is a lesson for us. as we face obstacles in life. They devised a plan. This is the plan that they had. Let's convince the king to write up a law that forbids people to pray or ask anything from anybody else or any god except the king. And they did that. They drafted the plan and they said this should last for 30 days and it should be a petition that not even the king can revoke. And we're going to forbid people from asking things or praying to anybody else but the king. And the punishment, any violators will be thrown in a den full of lions. We're going to throw them in the lion's den. And King Darius fell for it. They presented it. They made it attractive. They were his counselors, and he fell for it. He signed the injunction, and he made it law. And this is what happened as Daniel faced this test, this situation. Chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. How did Daniel respond? He remained faithful. I can picture Daniel just thinking about this, thinking about what his enemies were devising, the things that they were trying to, the plot that they were forming. And I imagine him thinking, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to do the same thing I did when Nebuchadnezzar took our land and extracted us from Jerusalem. When he took our land and I was just a young boy then, and I prayed to God and God rescued me and he was with me. And I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to do the same thing I did when his son Belshazzar became king. And he desecrated the items of the temple and was having pagan parties with the item of the Jerusalem temple. And God gave me a word against him. And now he's not here anymore. But I prayed and God was with me. I'm going to do the same thing. Now, this king likes me. He's nice to me. He's good to me. But I'm going to remain faithful to the one who's been faithful to me. I'm going to remain faithful to the one who's been faithful. And that's what an excellent spirit does. That's a great lesson for us. To remain faithful to the God who is faithful. To remain faithful to the God who is faithful to us. And in your life, whenever your devotion to God is attacked, whenever things may happen to dissuade you from seeking God, from staying connected to God, you got to remind yourself to have an excellent spirit, to remain faithful to the God who's faithful. And the king realized this was a plot, but it was a bit too late. He loved Daniel, Scripture says. Scripture says that he set in his heart to deliver Daniel. But he was reminded by these other officials that he couldn't do anything about it. So the king finally had to order Daniel to be placed inside the lion's den. And he did that. And then he did something interesting. He sealed the door of the lion's den with his own signet and the signet of his officials that he could trust. And this teaches us that When you face obstacles, when things come against you, you know, and you, especially if you face injustice, in Daniel's life, the king is telling us in this story that the lions were not the most dangerous thing that were after Daniel's life, because he sealed the door to make sure that nothing else would happen to Daniel, to make sure that the guys who were after him wouldn't go in and take his life. And sometimes, you know, in our lives, the same thing happens. It's a reminder that the undue punishment, the injustice, is not always the greatest threat. But it's what the thing that tries to separate us from God, that's the greatest threat. So at the break of day, the next day, the king spent all night, couldn't sleep, couldn't eat. He spent the night fasting. And the next day, at the break of day, he rushed to the lion's den and he opened the lion's den and he said this in anguish. O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Out of the den, a voice rises against all odds. verses 21 and 22. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. This is what we see here in this scripture. When you have done your best, when you have lived with an excellent spirit, even though you may face trials, when all is said and done, justice will rise. God's justice will rise, and the schemes of the enemy will fall, and you will see the deliverance of God. So don't let your faults, Don't let the circumstances put you down. Don't let the challenges put you down, because God is for you. Remain faithful. See, one of the other definitions of faithfulness is being steadfast. That means to be unwavering. That means to be constant. I don't know if you've ever met somebody who's moody, like changes the mood all the time. You never know what you're going to get, right? It's a box of surprises. In our world, it would be a LOL doll package. Got a few parents in the room here. Somebody who's double-minded. You'd never know what they're thinking. You feel like you're walking on eggshells. You can't plan anything. You never know what you're going to get. You know, a person who wavers cannot be counted on. Now, I know that you want to be counted on. I want to be counted on. And maybe this is where we start. We start by focusing on faithfulness. We start by focusing on being steadfast. You know, if you want to be somebody, people look and say, he has an excellent spirit. She has an excellent spirit. This is where we start. And maybe this is what you've got to work on being constant, unwavering. You may say, JD, that's not really my personality. You know, I'm more of a free-spirited person. I like to go with the flow. You know, I'm not talking about personality. I'm talking about character. Be who God made you to be. Be free. You know, have fun, be spontaneous, try new things, go on trips, enjoy new hobbies. But know the difference between trying something new and quitting. Know the difference between something not working because it's not meant to work and you not having the patience to see it through. There's a difference there that we need to know. We need to be able to look within and know, am I quitting this? Am I letting go of this? Or am I moving on because that's the right thing to do. This is what James said, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What a great picture. And I believe that this is the picture of Daniel's life. What we learn is this, from Daniel's life and from this passage, is that God develops us through trials, not titles. God will cause you to have promotion more often through pain than through position. We all want position. We want to grow. We want to see the next thing to achieve, to get to the sticker, the title. But can you see that your purpose right now is connected to the plight that you're in? That God is developing you. That maybe you might be facing a lion's den right now. Injustice. Someone who's accusing you. People who might be around you. Or maybe it's a circumstance that's trying to take you down. Can you see that God can develop you through it? And that if you face it with an excellent spirit, if you face it with faithfulness, if you face it with steadfastness, you will come better off on the other side and God will promote you. Amen. You will. Amen. See, what we've learned in the past 4 weeks is that in the life of Daniel and his companions, every time that God promoted them, their life was being threatened somehow. There was something going on that they could either die or God knows. But because they relied on God, because they trusted in the Lord, they were not only safe, because that's what we worried about many times, right? About safety. They didn't only survive, they were promoted. And this is what happened to Daniel. Scripture says that after he was rescued and after he came out of the lion's den, the king wrote an edict saying that everybody in the kingdom should bow to the God of Daniel, should revere the God of Daniel. And not only that, it says that Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and Cyrus, the kings of Persia. And that's God's promise for you. His promotion is connected to trials, more than it is to trials, to titles. Now you might be thinking, how do I face trials and still come out unbreakable? How do I face trials in life and still remain unbreakable? Well, when your world is turned upside down, your identity is attacked. Remember, don't defile yourself with the things of the world and the things that are offered to you so that you're taken out of your relationship with God. Don't let fleeting things hijack your faith, but trust God, trust that He is good and that He is for you. When an urgent matter arises, when something arises that an answer is required of you, remember that that might be God calling you for intimacy. That something, a difficulty, that a trial is God saying, I have the answer. Come to me, my child. I have the answer for you. Realize that your decisions are guided by your devotion. So remain devoted to God. Choose to be close to Him. Don't only call yourself a follower of Jesus. Actually follow Him. Don't just call yourself a child of God. Actually spend time with Him. And choose to live with an excellent spirit. A spirit that is faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to His word. Faithful to what He has called upon your life. Walk with integrity. Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. You know, be your best. And if you do that, you will not barely get by. You will not only be going to be distinguishable, but you will be beyond reproach. You will be stable. You will be on guard. You will stand firm in your faith. You will be courageous. You will be strong, and you will be unbreakable. Do you receive it this morning? Awesome.